This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Tara Darlington from Empowering Motherhood Radio. I'm here to shine the light for your journey. Now, we have a wonderful woman here today who has a program or a business called Naked, and it's something that I think a lot of women are really struggling with at the moment, to really find who they are and what they want, and bring ourselves back into that vulnerable, more vulnerable state. And, you know, there's so much pressure to be a certain way. And we had a really great interview a couple of weeks ago with Dr. Penny Griffin about feminism and where it is right now. And if you're into talking about that, you'll love that podcast as well. Because we've just marketed at that we're supposed to be a certain way and that we're supposed to want a certain thing. And then we have to, you know, there's a lot of unraveling that needs to happen to come back to asking ourselves, you know, what do we want? And there's a process with that. And Dakiria Cunningham is a gorgeous woman who I've known only through online for the past year, so it's really lovely to have you here and to actually connect a bit more live. We're still online, but we're actually talking, which is a wonderful thing about the internet. So welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I am honored to be here with you, Tara.
Thank you. And it's a real process for women as well, having babies coming into motherhood, and then there's a constant identity shift that's happening that we don't always flow with easily, and then coming back out the other side of when we do get a bit more time and start to look at careers. And many women start wanting career changes, I find, after they've had a baby, because, you know, if they want to spend time away from their kids, they want it to be something really nourishing for them, as well as, you know, the money. So there is a massive process that I see my clients go through of having to, you know, reconnect with themselves. So let's start there. What would you have to say about that?
Well, actually, I would call that, and I'm in that process right now, and I would call it birthing greatness.
Birthing greatness.
And it's basically, for me, I call it the three phases of the gift. And it happens so powerfully for women, particularly when they're pregnant, when they're coming into motherhood. And those three phases, I identify them as: one, the first phase, accepting the gift. Number two, using or presenting the gift. And three, growing the gift. So if you think about it as far as your birthing process, the actual physical birthing process, the first phase of accepting the gift is basically the miraculous creation of life inside of you, right? So it's like the creativity in you and your heightened awareness, because I'm experiencing that now, like with my craft. I just feel so much more aware of myself, where I am in my craft, what level I'm at, how much of myself I'm giving when I do present, because I'm an actress, you know, so, and a writer, and I just feel the depths of it. I can feel it more so now while I'm pregnant than at any other point.
And then we should say you're 33 weeks pregnant, so you're in that very, you know, that last, those last weeks where you're just really getting that real fullness of pregnancy. It's one of the most beautiful times, actually.
Yes, and you know, I just had my show, my one-woman show. It's called Naked, and it's me going through the journey to coming into my womanhood and eventually coming into motherhood. And so I start off in the show as a little girl, getting my period, being innocent, not knowing what it is, and really fumbling my way through finding myself, identifying who I am, my place in this world, what I'm called to do. And I've done this show before. I've done it before several times, but I've never done it pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And so, so this was kind of like my process, my rite of passage, if you will. And I really grew so much doing it at this point. And the difference for me is I had a much more the awareness was there and the groundedness, like you were saying, more, you know, you're more full. And I was so full in giving everything that was inside of me, more so as, you know, in this particular stage of my evolution at, you know, giving life or having life incubate in within me. So, I mean, I thought it was a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And what I'd like to comment there is the fact that, you know, a lot of women don't enjoy their pregnancy. They just don't enjoy their body. It's sort of in the way of their life a little bit. And that's part of what I help women to do, is to embrace it and actually start to work with it. Because what a lot of women are missing out on, unfortunately, and they don't realize that they are, is that massive, that power, that fullness, that just unbelievable experience that you have when you embrace it.
Right. And, you know, I was intentional about that. This is my third pregnancy, or my fourth, rather, but my third live birth pregnancy, because I had a miscarriage just before I got pregnant again with this baby. But my last pregnancy that went full term, I actually complained a lot. I found myself always complaining about the aches and the pains and, you know, everything that was going on throughout that pregnancy. And so at this particular point, after the miscarriage and everything, I wanted to be intentional about this pregnancy. I wanted to really find the blessing and the lesson in
all,
you know, the entire process. So I definitely wanted this. I wanted to have the power. I wanted to experience the nuances, even in the pain. I wanted to, you know, experience what there is for me in that. You know, what new things have I discovered about me? How do I handle the pain now? And, you know, and so with that intention coming into it, I've been wowed by being pregnant.
So lovely to hear, because there is, and I think that's why so many women who have experienced that become so passionate about advocating for it and supporting other women, you know, whether it's a blog or becoming an advocate or a, you know, breastfeeding counselor that works 24, you know, night shift unpaid with small children, because you just become, once you've experienced what happens when you embrace it, there can be such, you know, you just want to share that with other people and help them to have that same experience.
Exactly, because I've been having it be a more divine experience and making it, parallel to my journey in rediscovering my gift through it, you know, because it's such a miraculous thing that's happening to us when we're in this stage, the passage of life through us, it brings about a transformation, and it's like a metamorphosis of the mind, body, and spirit, you know,
a time where you
define and you deepen your purpose, if you allow yourself to, because sometimes, you know, like you were saying, when people don't enjoy it, they block themselves from that experience.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what I was doing before. I was blocking myself from all that there was, but I find that I'm my most creative during this time, and, you know, really grounded in what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm actually growing throughout this process, literally and figuratively.
there is a massive process that happened, and I know I just, you know, I really relished it with all six of mine as well. You've got two more after this to catch up.
Well, I don't know, honey. I don't know if I'm going to be able to catch up.
So let's move on to the second thing that you were saying about using and presenting your gift, the second phase.
Okay. That speaks more toward the transformation, what's happening on the inside of you and how it manifests on the outside of you. Because when life is, for me, having life form and incubate on the inside of me it makes me start thinking about defining and deepening my purpose, what I'm called to do, making sure that I am doing the thing in this world that I'm called to do. And so, you know, that I feel like that's a powerful phase to actually be in. And then you'll go into growing the gift. Once life passes through you, you have. And I start everything out with miraculous, because that's all it really, that's what it really is. It's miraculous, because it's not something that you come up with on your own. It's what happens to you and through you. You know.
Yeah, and that just gives you such a, you know, makes every day inspiring, doesn't it? When you're coming from that place.
Yeah, it does, because it's always new information. It's always because it's a process in your journey, you know, in motherhood, in craft development, in womanhood, in self-mastery. It's all a series of processes that you go through. And this birthing greatness can be used in all of those things, in your craft development, motherhood, womanhood, self-mastery, you know. But the final phase of the gift when you're birthing greatness is nurturing the life. That's growing that gift, whatever it is. And I parallel the two, because when you have a gift, like life is a gift, right? Life itself is a gift. So when life passes through you and in the form of a human being, that in itself is crazy powerful. But also when you parallel it to what you're called to do in this world, that it's the same thing. It passes through you. It comes through you. You become a vessel for your gift to flow through and into whomever it's meant for.
And yes, so what's interesting about that is that I find a lot of women, when they get pregnant and they first start coming to me with yoga or into my programs, they have a real resistance or a real they're at odds with their calling. So especially if they have a career that they really love, you know, motherhood is always put separate to, you know, your career, like they're two different things. But I was actually just saying to some of the girls last week, actually, it's like you're stepping out. So if you work full time and you go off to a conference for a day or a week, and then you come back with all this renewed energy and all this maturity and this new information and whatever you've learned about yourself and whatever realizations you've had from your seminar that you've attended or your conference that you've been to. And it's not separate to your career. It's a part of that developing and growing, you know, what you take into your workplace. And I see pregnancy like that too, or taking that time out to be at home full time or most of the time, or whatever women are doing part time with their children. It's like, it's actually almost like a retreat where you're getting to know yourself more. You're developing different skills and qualities that you're then going to take back into other areas of your life when you step back into that. You know, that's similar to what you were just saying, and that really strikes a chord for me. And I see that a lot in women. Have you had an experience yourself with that?
Well, yeah, I actually had to be open to fusing the two, because I was trying to, you know, a lot of times career women who become mothers, they try to find a balance, but it's really, you don't really have to look for the balance. You look for the harmony. You look for how one enhances the other.
Yes.
And then it what it does too for me, it let me know what things I didn't need in my life. You know, if it was extraneous or if it wasn't profitable to me, or, you know, added to my life in some sort of way, it didn't bring harmony to me. And so those are the things that I needed to discard. I needed to, for me to be integrity with myself as a mom and a wife and a professional, There were things that I needed to get rid of from my life. And having the two fuse, motherhood and my professional life, it really kind of summed it all up for me. It really gave me a wholeness. So it's not something that I had to be a mom and then I had to change who I was and be a professional, but it's all the same. It showed me who I really am. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I have an online course for mums that have sort of got to that point where they're in a bit of a crisis and they've, you know, mm-hmm. often they're trying to micromanage their life and they have all these parts of their life separate and there's mm-hmm. just simply not enough time in the day for that.
right.
And one of the things that I help them to do is exactly what you're talking about, which is to bring harmony to their life, to fuse it. I love the way you said that, their motherhood and professional life and the other areas of their life. Mm-hmm. So that you're actually creating a lifestyle that nourishes you and your family, that nourishes mm-hmm. All the different aspects of your life rather than seeing them all so separate. And often actually the women find it frees up a lot of time because one of the first things they do often is they realize they need to do is declutter, which is exactly what you're talking about, letting go of mm-hmm. stuff, letting go of certain friends, maybe just seeing them mm-hmm. a little bit less often, creating a new tribe, drawing in those people who are really going to support this way of being in your life and really enrich them as well. So I love the way mm-hmm. you say the words that you've used there, harmony and fuse, because that's really, I see a lot of women are really struggling because they're trying to meet some sort of expectation that's been put upon us
right.
of how things are and that we can have it all and do it all.
Right.
There's a real art to bringing it all into a lifestyle so that you're not feeling stretched in every direction. You're not feeling
right.
like you're doing 100 things and not doing any of them well, you know, or to work
yeah.
and neglecting your family or to look after your family and neglecting your own passions or your own gifts and to actually bring that all together as one.
Mm-hmm. And it really starts with taking notice of what's already there, because a lot of times people look outside of themselves at what other people are doing or what the gurus say they should be doing or, you know, the advice columns that they may read and to see, you know, what's available to them to use whatever processes or trainings or whatever. But first you have to look at what you have, because sometimes mm-hmm. you can't use everything that's out there, and what you're doing is you're bringing stuff into a situation that already exists. So you have to know what there is there to begin with.
Yeah,
you know?
That's so true. Yep. And I actually had a client recently who, when we went through everything that's happening in her life, I said, mm-hmm. well, you've got, it looks perfect on paper. You know, she had so many great things that were nourishing her and her family and, you know, so yeah. the problem wasn't even that. The problem was that other layer of thinking it should be hard and that it should be something different. And if it's not hard and if it's not what other people seem to be doing, appear to be doing, because often there's a facade and then there's the reality, which I want to get into you with you in a minute, which is a big core of what your work is around. And mm-hmm. so the anxiety was around thinking it should be hard and that it should be different, rather than that we can actually embrace, you know, all areas of ourselves, including motherhood. And, you know, one of my big missions is to raise motherhood to the table alongside everything else, that it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's part of same part, you know, coming to the party with everybody else.
It is. And, you know, in that third phase of, you know, growing the gift, there is the nurturing of the life, right? And you have, in that particular phase, you have a boost in intuition and instinct. And I think that is so big for you to realize your own instincts, your own intuition, because that will drive you. That will let you know what you can and can't do. That will let you know what you will and won't do, you know?
Mm. Yeah, and it's a bit of a lost art listening to it, isn't it?
Right, right. Because if you're listening to your intuition and you're building and allowing your instincts to become more full and, you know, become more readily available, then you'll feel more confident to make certain decisions, and everything won't be thrown at you, and you won't feel so overwhelmed by everything that's coming at you at one time. It's almost like a filter. You know, once you are open to that in your own intuition, your own instincts, you begin to filter out things so much better.
That's right. And then that can let go of the overthinking everything, which I find a lot of women have a problem with, you know, just wanting to make sure you're making the right decision. How do you know you're making the right decision? And one of the things I like to use is the definition of wisdom is knowledge, experience, and good judgment. And so I like to break that down in terms of women and motherhood, that the knowledge is obviously knowledge, learning new ways, becoming aware in that respect. And then the experience is, I think, having a mentor, having a guide, having a really great tribe to bounce off and to look at, you know, really feel into your own experience and have other people's experiences to, you know, to help give you ideas and feedback.
Right.
And then the last part is good judgment. And I just see that as, you know, that's your instinct and your intuition. So after you've got the knowledge, after you've had your experience, you've tried something perhaps or got some feedback from other people or ideas from guidance from someone who you admire, the way they run their life. And then the most important part after that is to sit and ask yourself, is this right for me?
Exactly, because what it does, it cycles back. It seems like, you know, when you make good judgments, you bring things into your life that's going to enrich you, that's going to, you know, enhance your life, and then you get new knowledge, and then you have more experiences, and then you're able to make more good judgment, which brings more knowledge and more experience. So it cycles around.
Awesome. That's right. And as they say, it's like a muscle. The more you use it, the clearer it gets. But there's those first steps to actually reconnecting with it, which does require a little bit of unwinding and a little bit of taking notice of what's going on, which I want to talk more about with you now, with your Naked and Loving It. So we're just going to have a quick break. We're here with Zakaria Cunningham talking about, you know, vulnerability of what's really going on for us as women as we come into motherhood especially, and how, you know, we can start to really connect with, as you say, with our gift and birth our life with greatness. So we'll just be back in a moment to hear more about the work that you do.
Okay.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Empowering Motherhood. We've got Zakaria Cunningham here with us today from Naked and Loving It. Now, I was looking through your blog to work out, you know, which way I was going to take some questions with you, and I wrote a little list, and then I saw your list on your website, on your blog, of the categories, which matched up perfectly. I was like, yes, there's something in that, you know, the things that I picked out, and I just thought, oh, yeah, I'm just interviewing the perfect woman because we're on the same wavelength. So, you know, obviously let's start with Naked and Loving It, what your work is, like what naked is, you know, means. I know you're talking about vulnerability. Let's hear it in your words.
Okay. Well, I give a new definition to naked. It's one that you will not find in the dictionary, and it is being vulnerable and transparent in search of your transformation.
And can you say that again?
Yes. Naked is being vulnerable and transparent in search of your transformation.
That's beautiful. Let's hear more about that.
And then when you discover transformation for yourself, I like to emphasize that it be your own. And a lot of times people try to yield to other people's transformations, seeing that someone else has grown from this particular thing in this particular way. So you try to match up, your growth and your transformation to that. But I'm always saying that in order to be naked, you have to be authentic.
Mm.
And that means stripping away the layers that build up over time, whether it be having regret, shame, fear, anxiety, depression, all of these things add layers to you. And it starts to cover up who you are. It covers up your shine. It dims your shine. It weighs you down. It gives you this extra added weight that you don't need, that you can't maneuver through your gift with, and it blocks your brilliance. So
totally done.
Yes, and so there's a stripping process, and becoming naked is a stripping process. It's stripping down those things that have hardened on top of you, that have calcified on top of you, and it's not the easiest thing, because when you do strip away those things, you feel exposed. There's the risk of exposure, and that is vulnerability. But there's so much power in vulnerability, being vulnerable and being transparent. And because I'm a storyteller, as an actress, a poet, and a writer, I really do encourage people to tell their stories, because that's where you get your healing from. And I say be naked with your story, because your story is epic. And in telling your story, and EPIC is actually an acronym, and it's extraordinary, powerful, inspiring, and captivating. And your story is that. Your story is that. You are epic, and you have to discover your epic factor. You have to discover the thing that lives within you that makes you epic. And it's all in your story, because your story is that blueprint of power. And so you have to tell it being naked. You have to tell it vulnerability, and you have to tell it with transparency, and that is in truth. You have to be truthful to yourself first and foremost. Before you can tell the truth to anybody else, you have to be truthful to yourself.
And that's one of the first steps, really, is deciding to be truthful with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You have to be truthful to yourself. You have to know what it is that you desire. Know where you are and what you desire from your life and where you desire to go. You have to know these things.
And so for people listening, what's a sort of first step that someone can take towards taking this action?
Okay. Well, the first thing is to identify the things that are weighing you down. What is it that you're holding on from your past that you're not allowing yourself to let go of? What is it that is defining you? And you need to lay it all out. You have to identify those things. Right. And once you know what your pain points are, or what is causing these things to dim your shine, to weigh you down, then you have to go into defining your greatness, defining the things that's already within you that will battle those things.
And in yoga, from a yoga perspective, that first step is the noticing, the actually, noticing, what those feelings are of, like, initially a lot of people just feel it as a heaviness, as a as a weight, but they've got used to that weight. So it takes a little while to see that you're actually carrying a weight.
Exactly.
It's just tiring.
Yes. And then, I mean, once you become free from some of that stuff, then, I mean, it's almost like, okay, now I know I can do that again. I know I can get rid of more things because I see how it feels to be free. Mm-hmm. And I that's why I say storytelling, tell your story, because it can help free up some of that, you know, that stuff. And I call it stuff because sometimes you can't even put a name to it, you know? Sometimes things are so old and crowding your space with things that of the past that's so old that you didn't even realize it was there. It's been there so long, you know.
That's right. It's lost sort of any labels or anything. It's just this
thing. It just becomes stuff. Right. So I say tell your story, and when you tell your story, you begin to heal from those things. And
that was the next thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, with your storytelling, your poetry, you know, there's so many healing modalities around. And I think often for people it's finding the right one that resonates for them. In a lot of creative pursuits or practices, there's a lot of healing there. In fact, we had the African Children's Choir here. They're traveling around Australia at the moment raising money to send back to put themselves, plus each child represents about another 10 kids or so, through school or through university in Uganda. And, they're hosted around Australia by choirs and schools. And, you know, just talking about, you know, the power of healing, of singing in a group. And there's just so many ways of, so many different sort of creative practices that are healing. Yeah. And obviously the one that is yours, you know, your calling is the writing and the poetry and the acting and all the things that come through that. So tell us a little bit about the healing side of that side of the work that you do, which comes back to the healing of the storytelling.
Yep, exactly. First, I want to mention that a lot of people feel like, well, I'm not a creative or I'm not a storyteller. And I usually respond with, yeah, you are. Everyone is a storyteller because you live your story. You live your story. Mm. So we see people, whether you want to believe it or not, you're always telling your story because you're always in live motion of that story. People are always seeing you live your story. But they don't always know where it comes from. They don't always know how you got here, where you are. And so I feel like you don't always have to tell your story like everybody else. You use your gift to tell your story. If you're a painter, paint your story. You know, if you are an architect, design your story. Have your story be implemented in whatever it is that you do, you know, what is unique to you. And that can look like anything for anybody, you know. But for me, like you said, I am a poet and an actress, and so a lot of my story is represented through the arts, which I feel is one of the most powerful platforms for expression and storytelling is, you know, the arts, media. And so actually what I want to do is I want to share the poem Birth and Greatness for you, if that's okay.
Yes, lovely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So here it is. At the corner of life and luxury, the tides of gratitude come rolling in from the deep and washes upon the shores of destiny. Footprints form like crystallized ginger, imprinted in my soul. I will never be the same. grace and mercy double-dutch the sidelines of my stride, gleaming in my peripheral. I will never be the same. I swam the deepest parts of that ocean. I did not drown. I was comforted with each stroke. I struck the water with my arms, my belly dense and crashing beneath the water, my legs trembling. Each wave ferocious with the intent to take me under. But baby, I could not drown. It was my destiny to mount defeat like a stallion and ride high. The terrible waves gave in to me, collapsed to my valor, acknowledged my glory, bowed to me, and became my chariot. Those ferocious waves with the intent to take me under spewed me up to the sun, and I righteously rode them to shore in brilliant, bright, blinding light. And I will never be the same.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thank you.
You know, coming back to, like you said before, a lot of people would just go, oh, I couldn't do that, and just shut down from that possibility of writing like that or using that. So what's your advice to people to just get starting? Is it just journaling, the brain dumping sort of thing, or,
I say let the pen hit the paper and just write. Whatever comes to your mind, whatever comes to your heart, just write. Because this actually is, it comes from my my story of my last birth was, it was vaginal and it was without pain medicine, which I really took, took that in, and I was like, oh my gosh, I am going to do this. I am doing this. Oh my gosh, I did this.
Yeah.
You know, because at first I was very adamant about it. I was like, I want it to be natural, and I don't want any, you know, medicine or any of that stuff. I don't want anything. You know, I want to actually go through this the natural way, and I was prepared for that. And once I actually got in the midst of it, I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure. And so I got to the point where I was, I started crying because I felt like a failure. I felt like I was giving in or giving up on myself and not allowing myself to actually go through this because I didn't think I could. And then they were like, okay, well, you're 9 centimeters, so you've actually already gone through it. And I was like, wow, okay. I guess it's no turning back. And so I felt so accomplished afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what this came, the very first, after she was born and she came out and she was perfect, and I was so grateful and so humble to have, you know, been able to be a part of this process of giving her life. And this is the first thing that came to me.
Mm.
And this,
well,
and writing, this was,
it's actually very important for women to write down their birth stories. For two reasons. One is it is a very profound experience, and we need to integrate it into our being, no matter which way the birth went. So actually writing down your birth experience is really important for women themselves. But it's also extremely important because sharing that story with other people is extremely important. So again, you know, in the media, we're seeing a very negative, incorrect, completely false idea of birth, of what it actually is. And so women actually writing their stories is really powerful for a lot of other people. And then I guess there's also the third thing. It's amazing how many people I meet who don't know their own birth story, and, you know, maybe their parent, when I meet them, sometimes their mother's already passed on, and they're never ever going to know what happened at their birth. And you know, it's something you don't really think about until you think about it, because you feel like you need it in some way, and then it's not always there. So I've written all my children's birth stories out, and back on what you were saying before about thinking, oh, you know, I can't do this. With my last one, I had the last four at home birth, and with the last one, she was quite quick. She's still very, very determined, independent little thing at four and a half. But I just remember thinking, holy crap, why am I doing this again? you know, it's like, okay, and then just exactly what you're talking to, switching into, okay, I am doing it, let's go, you know, and refocusing. And there's so much in that that then we take, you know, into the rest of our life. So, writing down your birth stories is actually a really important thing to do on quite a few different levels.
Yes, and then, I mean, because what I always say about writing things down is when you write them down in the moment, you are experiencing something right then and there. But when you read it back later, it ministers to you. It really ministers to you, and it gives you something that you need in the moment that you read it, that you didn't even know existed before, you know. And when I read this back, I feel like, wow, I did something that was tremendous. I did something that was miraculous. I did something that I didn't think I could do. If I could do that, I can do something else. So it helps me. It helps me when you read to read back my story, because it empowers me. Because as you know, as a person who motivates other people and empowers other people, it's important that we find that way, the ways of empowerment for ourselves. You know.
Absolutely.
So.
And I just want to emphasize there: it doesn't matter what your birth story is. Everyone's birth story is different, and. Even, you know, if you felt like your birth was traumatic, or you felt disappointed, or no matter what happened in your birth, writing your story down is so important. And you're right, it will come back and teach you something if you look back at it later. Although sometimes you want to just write stuff down and chuck it out and not read it back. Or you keep everything. You can't keep everything.
I'm sorry, say it one more time. I think we got it.
Do you sometimes want to write stuff down and then you just want to throw it away? Like you know, some things you might want to read back, but do you sometimes just want to brain dump and just like, yeah, I need to actually throw that out, not read it, not keep it?
No, you know what? I don't throw anything away and I don't edit when I write.
Yeah.
And because I feel like, It has to come out, and for it to come out authentically, I have to just let it. I have to let it come out the way it's gonna come out. And so I try not to edit while I'm writing, like scratching stuff out. I never scratch out and erase while I'm writing. Now, if I needed to polish it for something like publishing and different things like that, then you know I'll edit it later on. But as far as the writing process itself, I encourage people to just write. Don't try to edit it while you're writing it, because you will block the next thing that's coming, and it needs to flow. It needs to just flow naturally, and you know, however it's going to come out, you need to let it come out that way. Because
and that's really tapping into that. Yeah, it's really tapping into the creative process then, and letting that energy flow, which will then flow in other parts of your life.
Exactly, because quite possibly you're not going to like what you're writing.
Yeah.
You're not going to like how you sound. Oh, my gosh, I sound so angry or so blah, blah, blah. And editing yourself is actually trying to change how it is, how it's coming out, but you don't need to do that. That's not necessary to judge yourself, because that's a part of self-judgment. You know, and that kind of, it takes the process and warps it, so you're not getting everything that you need from that process at that particular time when you're editing and doing all that stuff. But the poem that I actually read, or that I read to you, was performed on stage in my show. And I was able to go through that birthing experience there and for the audience. And it was really powerful. And that's why I say let your stuff come out how it's going to come out. Because what it, because sometimes it's not even for you. Whatever the purpose is going to be serving later, whether you're an artist or a speaker or whatever have you, that story is going to be told, and it's going to have to be authentic from start to finish so that it can do what it's designed to do in the lives of other people.
Because
you've lived it, and so when it lands in the hearts and the souls, the minds of other people who you're serving, you have to serve from that place of authenticity and integrity and power.
That's right. Whether you're serving through your work or through your, as a mother to your family, or you know, just in whichever way that is that you're doing, that's all completely you know, legitimate. And we're, you know, and I always think, you know, even if we're not mothers, we're all, especially women, we're all nurturing, we're all serving in one way or another. And and the, all this stuff that we're talking about and all these qualities that we're talking about, you know, are something for women to tap into and really reclaim ourselves.
And you have to do it naked. You have to write naked. You have to speak naked. You have to live naked, because it's about being vulnerable, vulnerable, showing yourself, showing up and being seen. Because we see, I'm always telling women, I see you. I see you. And that is so important, because people sometimes just want to be seen. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. But they don't think anyone's looking, and they don't think anybody's listening. And so that what
That's
they try
right.
to do is they try to cover up. Well, you know, when nobody's looking, nobody's listening. So I'm then they go into this internal self-judgment zone, and they start, you know, editing, and they start putting on layers of stuff that does that they, you know, they don't really need. Instead of being naked, being who they are, who they were born to be.
That's right, and that's the perfect moment for us to round off on, I think, and finish up. Thank you so much for your time. It's been absolutely gorgeous. Love it all. So your website is thenakedmovement.com, and people can find you on there, connect with you through Facebook, et cetera. So just finish off, I want to hear, this, you know, what are you offering? You know, what, how, what, in which ways can people get in touch with you or work with you? You know, just give us an overview of that.
Okay, when you go to my website, I try to make that the home that you can find inspiration, empowerment, healing, whatever you're there, whatever you're in need of, there's something there for you, whether you go to the blog or you watch the videos or whatever you're in need of, there's something there for you. If you do want a deeper walk or transformation or a guided walk, becoming naked with the process and all of that, and really knowing what your epic factor is, how to tell your story powerfully, I have the Naked program, which is available. It's self-study. It's a six-week program. Well, yeah, six-week program. And it's so inclusive of everything we just discussed here, birthing your greatness, defining yourself as who you're meant to be, and, you know, being naked and telling your story, understanding what your story is. So if that is for you, then you'll find that on the website as well, and just contact me, and we'll see what we can do, you know.
Yep, sounds wonderful. All right, well, thank you so much. There's so many, you know, beautiful insights there for people to, as I said, a lot of women, you know, going through pregnancy, birth, motherhood, you know, back to work or the next child or miscarriage where your life seems to take a, you know, 180 degree turn all of a sudden, you know, all of these, and so many women actually deal with that. It's another thing that's not talked about openly. So thank you for just bringing that out so easily, you know, and so
we're going through all these transformations, and mm-hmm. I think one of the places that, I mean, I'm aligned with everything that you said, but a real connection that I feel is that thing of integrating what we learn about ourselves, what we discover mm-hmm. about ourselves through these processes, just to become, you know, a more full person, just to find what our gifts are and nourish them. And that becomes a real, then you actually become an amazing role model for your family anyway by doing mm-hmm. that. And,
yes.
You know, as you start to live, show your children how to live life, how to deal with stuff,
yes.
You know, this is for me one of the real keys to, you know, motherhood. We think we need to read books on parenting and this and that and the other, but one of the greatest gifts that we can give our children, I believe, is to show them how to live a happy, healthy, fulfilling life. And for many women, you know, this step, this work that you're doing is their next step and what they're needing. So thank you so much for sharing it with us. Lovely to speak to you and connect. Maybe soon we'll connect actually in person if I can get myself over to America at some stage.
Yes, or vice versa, if I can get over there, that would be good.
Yeah, it's a long trip.
Well, thank you
Anyone
so
that
much
visits,
for sharing your platform with me.
It's a pleasure. And so we'll finish off there, and I will look forward to speaking with you further. So if you want to find more, it's empoweringmotherhood.com. There's a lot of resources there. You'll find a link to the radio podcast and find our interview there and more. So, and if you want to get in touch with Dakiria, it's thenakedmovement.com. And thank you so much for being here, and we'll speak to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
This is the EWN Radio Network.